Today I entitled a message that you'll see on the back of your bulletin, A Christmas List. And how many of you have Christmas lists you're working on? You know, my daytimer fell out of my briefcase and my list of things to talk to Marty about on the Christmas program fell out. The other day I came home from shopping for the food for the dinner and a movie, and my wife and my daughter were both sitting in the living room with their feet up while the kids slept, and I was carrying all this stuff. Finally got to sit down and visit with them. My daughter said, "Dad, did you have a list?" I said, "No." "You went to the store without a list? Are you insane?" Probably. She said, "What'd you do?" And I said, "Well, I picked something that I can cook, and I walked through the aisles of Kroger's and did it as I went." She says, "Oh, you know, man of faith, I guess, or insane, one or the other." But you have a Christmas list, things to do before the holidays get here. We have these to-do lists, don't we? These lists. And what I'd like to do today is take a portion from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 13. Peter only wrote a couple books, so, you know, I wanted to do at least one message out of Peter's stuff. I would have liked to do Jude's, message when we read. It's kind of fun this time of the year. You sit down to read your Bible in the evening, and you read a whole book. You know, it's all on one page. That's my kind of book. You know, the whole book of Jude all fits on one page. You know, John, 2 John, all fits on one page. That's my kind of book. Right? But I want to go over a biblical list for a Christmas list. I found this email printed out next to my chair this morning, and it says this. This is a letter from God to His children. "Dear children, it has come to my attention that many of you are upset about the folks that are taking my name out of the season. Maybe you've forgotten that it wasn't I who actually picked this time of the year for this celebration. It was some of your predecessors who decided to celebrate my birthday, which is actually not the time of my birth at all. It's a pagan festival. Although I do appreciate you remembering me." How many of you were around this year while I was teaching from the ancient Hebrew feast? This is not really when Jesus was born. Christmas? A Roman king decided, "Well, let's throw a Christian holiday when we have this pagan holiday on December 25th. And since we already use the Christmas tree for our pagan worship, let's just make that a part of the Christian worship as well." It's not a biblical gig to do that on December 25th. It's a pagan thing. Now, I do think God does enjoy that we celebrate any time. And I tell you all the time, my dad picked his birthday. No one really knows when his birthday was, so we picked a day and we celebrated on that day. It's kind of like Jesus. No one actually really knows exactly what day he was born, so we just pick a day and celebrate it, and that's okay. But don't get confused as a Bible believer that this is really the right day, December 25th. Okay? Anyway, color commentary. Yes, I'll stop. Okay. Back to the text. How I personally feel about this celebration can probably be easily understood by those who have been blessed and who have children of their own. I don't really care what day you call it. All I want you to do is to celebrate my birth. Just get along with each other and love one another. Having said that, let me move on. If it bothers you that in your town they don't allow the depicting of my birth in a scene in the public square, then just why don't you get rid of a couple of the Santas and the snowmen that you put in your yard and put up a nativity scene? There'd be lots of them all over town. Then you wouldn't need the town hall to do it. Stop worrying about the fact that people are calling the tree a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree. I made all the trees. You can look at any tree and remember me at any time. You'd be better off to decorate a grapevine. That's actually what I spoke about in my teaching about your relationship with me. If you want to check up on it, look in John 15, verse 1 through 8. Now, if you're interested in knowing what's on my list, let me give you a few things. Number one, instead of writing a protest letter objecting that my birthday is being celebrated, write letters of love and hope. You could write them to soldiers who are far away from home. They are terribly afraid this time of year. I know because they talk to me about it all the time. Number two, you could visit someone in a nursing home. You don't really have to know them personally. They just need to know that somebody out there cares about them. Number three, instead of writing George complaining about the wording in the Christmas card that he and his staff came up with this year, why don't you write George a letter and tell him that you'll be praying for him and his family? And then follow up on it. Number four, instead of giving your children lots of gifts that you can't afford and they really don't need, spend the time with them. Tell them about the story of my birth. And while you're at it, tell them why I came down here to live with them. Hold them in your arms and remind them how much you and I love them. Number five. Here's a good one. Pick someone that has hurt you in the past and forgive him or her. Did you know that was on God's list? Number six. Did you know that someone in your town will attempt suicide over this season because they feel so alone and homeless and helpless? Since you don't know who that person is, try giving everyone a warm smile. That'll make a difference. And also, you could consider supporting your local hotline. They talk to these people all the time. Number seven, instead of getting nitpicky about the retailer in your town, what he calls the holiday, why don't you be patient with the people who work there? Give them a warm smile and a kind word. Even though they are not allowed to say Merry Christmas to you and wish you well, that doesn't stop you from doing that. You wish them Merry Christmas. You give them a smile. And by the way, if you stop shopping there on Sunday, they'll close. If they didn't make all that money on Sunday, they wouldn't be open and those people could have the day off. Interesting strategy. Number eight, if you really want to make a difference, support a missionary. Especially one who takes my love and my good news to those who have not heard about my name. You may already know someone like that. Here's number nine. Here's a good one. There are individuals and whole families in your town that will not only not have a Christmas tree, but neither will they have presents to give and receive. If you don't know them, and I suspect you probably don't, buy some food, buy some new gifts, and give it to the Marines. Give it to the Salvation Army. Some of these people who know me, they'll deliver them for you. Here's number 10. Finally, if you want to make a difference, make a statement about your belief and your loyalty to me. Then behave like a Christian. Don't do things in secret that you would not do in my presence. Let people know by your actions that you're one of mine. P.S. Don't forget, I'm God and I can take care of myself. Just love me and do what I've told you to do. I'll take care of the rest. Check out the list above. Get to work. Time is short. I'll help you and I'll bail you out anytime you get into trouble. And you'll be blessed. A Christmas with those you love and remember. Love you, God. Now, I did not have that when I started this lesson. And it's kind of interesting as I read through that this morning. Julie prints these things out, sits them next to my recliner, and I was sitting in my recliner before it got light praying, and I heard, that sounds like there's a truck in my driveway. You know, who would be in my driveway at before 6 o'clock in the morning? A truck in my driveway. And I look over my, Christopher. I look over my shoulder, and sure enough, there's a big truck in my driveway, so I go strolling out barefooted in my bathrobe. He says, Dad, can I borrow your orange vest? I got mine all bloody yesterday in that buck that I shot. You know, can I borrow your vest? Yeah. I was telling Jules, I was really glad that I swept the garage yesterday because I'm walking barefooted through the garage before 6 o'clock in the morning getting a camel or an orange vest for Christopher to go deer hunting in the morning. You know, there's always something on the list, right? But then when it got light, I found that and I decided I'd read that list to you. Well, here's a thing that I run past you last week. What if someone asks you, what's your church like? You remember that? Anybody remember what the short, succinct phrase I want you to say? We are a grace-based, new covenant Bible church. That's who we are. We are grace-based, and the first message in January, once I get through all the stuff that I have to do, is going to be about grace. Last week I talked to you about the new covenant. There's basically an old covenant and a new covenant. Old covenant is you do everything absolutely perfect your whole life, never sin, and you get the reward. New covenant is you admit that you sin, accept God's gracious gift, and you're in. Now today is all about Bible. We're a Bible church. In a pure, simplistic form, this is what I want you to understand. What's a Bible church do? Each one of us has an opinion. I had somebody tell me not long ago, opinions are like butts. Everybody's got one. Right? Everybody's got an opinion. If you're married, there's probably two opinions on everything. Right, Rick? At least? Okay. Lori and... I'm off both Lori and Rick's Christmas list as of this morning. But if you're married, isn't that the way it goes? You have children. Do you realize that each one of your children have a different opinion than you do? Right? Here's the thing about a Bible church. As we search for God's opinion, and we adopt that as our opinion rather than our own. Simplistically, that's what it is. We study the Scriptures. And every Sunday, I'm going to take the Bible apart and I'm going to say, remember this? Look at that. It's all about learning who God is and learning His opinion. And so when people ask you about a church, that's what it is. And here we go, 2 Peter, this is Bible. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. We have everything that we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's power. And we learned that He had invited us to share in His wonderful goodness. Verse 4, God made great and marvelous promises so that His nature could be part of us. Then we could escape the evil desires and corrupt influences of the world. Any of you want to escape the Christmas hubbub and the mess of commercialism? You know how you do it? By appropriating His nature that He's put within you. Verse 5, do your best to improve your faith. We can do this by adding goodness, understanding, self-control, patience, devotion to God, concern for others, and love. Verse 8, if you keep growing in this way, you will show what you know about your Lord Jesus has made your lives useful and meaningful. Verse 9, but if you don't grow, you are like someone who is nearsighted or blind, and have forgotten what their past sins have been forgiven. My friends, you must do all you can to show that God has really chosen and selected you. If you keep on doing this, you won't stumble and fall. Verse 11, then our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will give you a glorious welcome into His kingdom that will last forever. Verse 12, you are holding firmly to the truth that you were given. But I am still going to remind you about these things. Verse 13. In fact, I think I should keep reminding you until I leave this body. How many of you remember the three R's that were at the end of the New Covenant message last week? There were three R's. One of them was remember. What was the other one? Remorse. And the other one was repent. See, those are the things that we summarized last week's lesson in. And this morning, when I was reading the Bible, this got typed in this morning, we're reading in Hosea. And in Hosea chapter 6, here's what Hosea writes. This is your morning reading. Come, let us return to the Lord. Listen to this. He has torn us. He will heal us. He has wounded us. He will bind up our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day, He will rise us up into His presence. Let us strive to know the Lord. His appearance is sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the sun, like spring showers that will water the land. I was sitting there reading that as the sun came up this morning, and I was thinking, the Lord does it all. He's the one who wounds you, and He's the one who heals you. He's the one who sets you down, and He's the one that raises you up. in our lives as a Bible church, we need to be repentant of the fact that a lot of times we think we can do this stuff. It's all about Him. And then, one more thing. Verse 6 in chapter 6, this is what God's interested in. For the Lord says, I desire loyalty and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than the burning of offerings. What does God want? He wants our loyalty. He wants our faithfulness. He wants us loyal and trusting to Him. He doesn't want a whole bunch of sacrifices and burned up stuff. He wants us to be loyal and faithful to Him. So, what do I need to remember? What's on my list? As you flip over your bulletin and look on the back of it, the first thing is we need to remember we have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. Now, when you were born and came out of your mother's womb, did you have everything you needed to please God at that time? No, you didn't. You were born in sin because you were conceived in sin. Jesus was the only baby that was ever born from a woman that was born without sin. It was really cool. One of the neatest contexts of the movie we watched Friday night was when Mary lays down in the hay to have the baby. There's none of the trauma of Eve's sin. She just lays down. Joseph says, are you hurting? No, not really. You have pains? No, not really. And then, shazam, there's this beautiful baby. But without all the struggles of sin, you can have babies and it don't hurt. It's the way it was designed to be. Everything that we need has been given to us through the sinless life of Jesus Christ. That baby that was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, he lived his whole 33 years with never, ever, ever sinning once. One of the things that always surprises me about this time of year when I read Jude, how many of you know Jude was Jesus' stepbrother? You realize that? James and Jude were his stepbrothers? Do you understand that in God's economy, He wanted Jesus to understand the mixed up society we lived in where most of the kids don't live with their biological parents? Jesus knows what it's like to have stepbrothers and stepsisters. He knows what it's like to live with a mother and have a different father. He wanted to be able to relate to us in everything. So how do we get everything we need? By coming to Him and accepting this Christmas gift of His grace to us. We accept His grace and we are born again, we are saved, and then we have everything we need to please God. Well, how do you get all that? Second thing on your list, remember it was all given by God's power. It wasn't you that did it. If you're born again, it was because God's love reached out and touched you and His Spirit wooed you and drawed you and it was all given to you as a Christmas gift. You didn't deserve it. How many of you think you deserve a Christmas present? One. Oh, that was just a stretch, wasn't it? That wasn't. See, no one really thinks they deserve a Christmas present. You don't deserve the grace that God give you. You just accept it and thankfully receive it and open and enjoy it. It's all given, everything you need. Here's the important thing. He has put His nature in us. His nature, God's nature became part of us. See, when I was born with a sinful nature. Where'd I get that? My dad. Where'd my dad get it? His dad. Where'd his dad get it? His dad. My great-great-great-grandfather got it from his dad. All of us got it from Adam. We all were born with this sinful nature. But when we become born again, God crucifies that old sinful nature. And He gives us a new nature. He puts it inside us. And we have the ability then to resource something we never had before. We still have to struggle with sin because we still have a flesh, but we got a new nature. It's become a part of who we are. What do I need to do? Here's your list. Remember to do your best to walk more. Remember to do your best to give more. Remember to do your best to testify more. Remember to do your best to read your Bible more. Is that what it says? None of that stuff. What are you and I supposed to work on? Our faith. When God says in Hosea, I want you to be loyal, He wants you to be faithful to Him, loyal to Him. He wants you to be a submissive servant in His kingdom. When you start reading Revelations tonight, and John the Revelator said, I'm a bond slave to the King. He's a submissive servant. He's loyal to his Lord. What are we supposed to work on in our Christmas list? Faith. Deeper trust in God. Less trust in ourselves. More dependency on God. Less trust. Deeper reverence for who God is and His holiness. Put faith in how holy He is. Put faith in how righteous He is. Put faith in how good He is. How do you get self-control? By dying to yourself and letting Him be in control of your life. How do you get goodness? By working at goodness? Heck no! By knowing the good guy. That ain't me, folks. It's Him. How do you get patience? I want patience and I want it right now. Like a drive-up window at McDonald's, right? I want my food and I want it now. I don't even want to slow down. I just want to throw the money and grab the food and keep going. What did Hosea said? You wait 2 days in the grave and on the third day you raise up. What God trying to teach you? Trying to teach you that His Son would be in the grave 3 days. Patient, my son. Wait. Your time is coming. What is He teaching you and me? You pray for patience, expect it. In 3 or 4 days. Or Daniel, 21 days. Daniel said, didn't eat, waited for 3 weeks. And then, Gabriel shows up. Or Michael. Michael, right, girls? Michael shows up. Gabriel shows up to meet Joe and Mary. But faith. Put faith in God. Pray about stuff more. And lastly, in Jude, last night you read, last night's Bible reading was Jude. But you, my friends, keep building yourself up in your most sacred faith. Well, Jude, how do we do that? Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and keep yourselves in the love of God as you wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, as His mercy will give you eternal life. Jude is saying the same thing Peter's saying. And they aren't even related. They're nothing like each other, right? Most of the time, preachers use Peter as a poor example. So what's the last thing to put on your list? Keep growing. Keep growing. We are supposed to be growing. How many of you are older today than were yesterday? Ah, you've got the concept, right? How many of you worked and strained all night long to get a day older? Anybody? What do you do? You just relax and enjoy sleeping and you wake up and you're a day or older, right? It's the same way in God's economy. You resource Him, you relax in Him, you let Him refresh you, let Him restore, and you grow. But we should be growing. So next year when we want our lives to change, and this is the one for today, at the end of the year I want to be more like Jesus. How do you do that? Be more faithful rather than faithless. Be more faithful and you'll be more like Jesus, because Jesus put all His faith in His Father. See? And then these things will happen in our church. So, what do I want to change in my life? What I want you to remember? Here we go. I want you in your prayers to thank God for what He's done. Remember the sins that He's forgiven. Some of them are going to be years ago. Some of them are going to be minutes ago. Don't hide the fact that you sinned. Confess it as soon as you recognize it. And remember that He forgave you for it. Thank God for being merciful to you. For the sins that I have done. Don't deny it. Admit it. Oh God, remind me. I'm not very smart. I need lists. I need God to remind me of stuff. And lastly, Lord Jesus, please grow me in my faith. That's the type of prayer that I want you to be praying with me. That we don't pretend like we don't sin, because we do. But we focus more on the wonder of God than on what we've done.